My first year after school, I came from Southport to Burger and for Bible school, for a year of Bible school. And one of the things they did, it was crazy. There were four of us that traveled from the South Coast to Joburg. Here we go. And I was clever enough to arrive early. They dropped me off, and the others had family, so they all went and stayed. And I was like one of two people that stayed overnight. Everyone came the next day. We woke up the next morning. They said, "Welcome. We are digging a new septic tank. Congratulations." So guess what I did my very first day of Bible school? We dug deep holes and so on. And then we found out that there were 20 of us all staying in one house, the guys on one side of the house, the girls in another, they were cutting in half. And we found out that every month or so, we were all assigned duties. And so as things happened, after a while, I got assigned the duty of the men's bathroom. Now there were 9 of us sharing one bathroom and 2 bedrooms. 5 guys in my bedroom. And it was crazy. We had an American with us. He was like, "No, you close the curtain, you close the windows, because bugs, and there's no such thing as fresh air. It's bugs that fly in. We don't want germs on the air." These Americans with their air conditioning and all of that. Then we had a guy from Eswatini. What's Swaziland? And he was, anyway, we had it was colorful. Our bathroom was one room. Basin, bath, shower, toilet, one room. It was carpeted. Can I remind you about 9 guys sharing that one bathroom with carpets? When it came to winter, everyone wanted the windows closed and the shower up. It felt like gorillas in the mist. You weren't sure, like, are you going to surprise someone? You open the door, it's like, anyone there? Like Marco Polo, you're not sure. You know, you're going to stumble over some other guy doing his thing. And there I was on a Monday morning having to clean this bathroom. Very, very colorful. Very colorful. If you've had boys in your house, you know what that looks like. I promptly wanted to tell them they had to stop eating, but then I thought maybe my job would be a little lighter. I was given this job, and after a month I was ready for it to finish. And then they posted the new schedule. They said, "We've changed our algorithm. We're no longer doing our duties for a month. We're doing it for a term." They moved the goalposts on me from a month. This is stretched and stretched. And so there I was. Oh, my goodness. Pulling man hair out of the shower trap. Polishing a toilet that 9 guys used. Wiping toothpaste and gargle out of the single sink that we all use. I was like, "Jesus, this, I don't know. I came to serve you, and look what I'm doing." My goodness. You know? I saw the Holy Spirit found me in my bathroom. You'd be surprised. There I was going, "Jeez, that guy, my brother, that housemaker, I'm like, it was you, wasn't it?" Dealing with those smells and those leftovers, and the chaos. I wonder, you know, Holy Spirit just came back. Put it in my face. And all of a sudden, I began to look forward to going and doing my duties in the bathroom. I was just really, the work didn't change, the presence of God changed. We got to the end of that month, and they said, we rework the system again. And then when they posted the system, there it was, Craig, bathroom, another term. 6 months out of 10. And there I was, cleaning up after 8 other guys and myself. And you know, Jesus was so good. Every day I happened. Even when I got long. When I served God, man, Jesus found me. When I was about 20, the church we had part of managed to bring us, bring me as a young deacon on staff. Half of my salary was paid out of the worthy causes fund. I'm still grateful for that. One of my first jobs that they gave me was in Boston, and they gave me one of the grannies in the church, and they had 2 new replacements at the same time. They had staples kind of rolling up this. And I was just a young guy. For me, anyone over 30 at that age was like, no way. And I've learned a few things since then, but then, I remember having to go there, and she needed, I was the the physio. Didn't have money to go and get a proper physio, so I would have to take her with a car and arrive at her house and help her to climb down the stairs from the house, get into my car. And so I had these two little Yorkies that would snap at my heels. I'm a big dog person. Yorkies, God bless you. And I never had to put them in my car, my first car. Those dogs went into the car. So I had to drive down to the beachfront of Margaret, got a pair of them over there. And I had to help her walk up and down where those new knees would take and recover. And then a friend of Philip's father was a deacon in the church. He said, love me. And he was wonderful. And he'd been a diabetic for most of his life. And he was getting older. And he suffered kidney failure. And it was allotted to me to, again, go to his house. Eventually, he was in a wheelchair with us. Both of his legs and three different operations. He was in a wheelchair. He had a slide from his wheelchair into the car on a little shiny thing. And he used to take him all the way to Berlin, an hour and a half drive, which, when he lived in Marburg, which was like another country. He used to help him take him to the hospital and put him on the dialysis machine, right around all day, and put him back in. And I remember in those days, he eventually passed away. And Colette died even there that evening, just a couple of hours before we were there as he died. And I remember his eyes suddenly opening. He'd kind of been in and out of days and now. And all of a sudden, his eyes opened and said, yeah. He said, first the glory, and then the rest. I remember thinking, Jesus, after doing all this stuff as a young guy, I thought I was a believer. As a young guy, I thought, sure, I love dumb stuff. I don't know how much more I could be on this earth. And then I remember turning up at Ron at his house. And he encouraged me every time. This guy that was on by the time, he encouraged me over and over. And I remember going and going, oh, Lord, I'm exhausted. Get out of my car, another trip. I don't really don't want to do this, but he's looking for this. No, I don't want to look at them, this lady. All those things. And I remember the Lord, the Holy Spirit in my life. And all of a sudden, thinking, man, I am exhausted, and I'm so glad that I'm going to do this. And so, welcome to episode 3 of Empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've spoken about who the Holy Spirit is. We've spoken about what he does in us, and we've spoken about how today he empowers us to serve him. And I don't know what your record of godly service is, but I want to tell you this morning that Jesus has plans for your life. The empowering of the Holy Spirit is not just for Sunday. It's not like a shirt or a church clothes that we put on. Okay, I'm going to meet with the Holy Spirit at church today, but it's empowering by the Holy Spirit is for life. Not just an experience on Sunday, it's an empowering for every day. The Holy Spirit is both spiritual, but he's also very practical. Billy Graham puts it this way. He says, the highest form of worship is the worship of the unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. Vaughan Featherstone says, my beloved young friends, determined to serve one another. That's a strong word, right? Opportunities for Christian acts of service do not always come at convenient times. Do not always come at convenient times. I remember a young man years ago, I went up to him and I said, hey, we'd love you to preach at the church. How are you for next weekend? He says, well, I'm a bit busy. I said, thank you very much. It's fine. It took me about 6 months to ask him again. Because opportunities for acts of Christian service do not always come at convenient times. Listen to the Spirit when your flesh is weak. For truly the Master said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We quoted the scripture, Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, it says, led by the Spirit, goes into the desert, fasts for 40 days, the devil tempts him. He triumphs over the devil. He comes back from the desert into town. And the Bible says Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, or full of the Spirit, came back into Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "We do not wish you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experience in the province of Asia. Aren't you so glad the Bible is written by normal people who are willing to be honest about life?" Yes. And he says, "You must know, it was tough. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. We felt like we were dead." He says, "Instead, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but rely on God who raises the dead." I don't know if you've ever felt like, man, I've got to work harder, I've got to try harder, I feel like I'm running out of energy and effort. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, there's a plan for that. And maybe you felt like that this week. I won't ask you to put up your hand, but I'm asking you to think. Maybe you've been there this week or this month. He said, "Yo, I don't know if I can carry on." You know, but these days we're quick to say, "I'm done. I'm tapping out. That's me. I'm finished." You heard that language? We're quick to say that. But Paul says, "No, no, no. We were in that kind of position. Why? So that we would learn not to rely on ourselves, but on Him who is even able to raise the dead." And we've got these great examples. If you think of Samson, remember Samson from the Old Testament? It says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. The point that I'm trying to explain to us is even when we are weak, the empowering Spirit of God can make us strong to do whatever it is He's asking of us to do. He takes the lion and He tears it apart. Judges chapter 15, it says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him. He was bound with ropes. The ropes broke like charred flax. And the bindings dropped off from his hands, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey. He grabbed it and he struck down 1,000 men. You see what happens on one guy with the Holy Spirit on him. Then we have Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says the procession of prophets met him. So there were other guys who had the gift of prophecy. They were used to prophesy. It says the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him and he joined in their prophecy. Isn't that amazing? We don't know whether he prophesied before or not. We do know that the Holy Spirit came, and all of a sudden he could do something that potentially he hadn't done before. The same goes for you. Same in the Bible, same today. What about David? Samuel takes the horn of oil, and when we read oil, what do we know oil stands for? Holy Spirit. You guys have been listening. The Holy Spirit. And so it's a symbol. So he anoints him with the oil, and in the presence of his brothers, and from that day the Spirit of the Lord comes on him powerfully. Now this is before Goliath. It's before he became king. It's before he extended the borders of Israel, and David was the most successful Israeli king. He made Israel the biggest borders, the richest and the most successful time in their history was under the kingship of David. What made him such a great king? I think it was this moment. Presence and the power of the Holy Spirit on him. Luke chapter 14, verse 8. Jesus quotes, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to." I've said this the last couple of weeks. I'm asking of you, what is your two? Do you have a two? Some of us are already on a 2.0 and a 2.1 and a 2.2.1. Yeah, but what's your two? Says here, Jesus that says that he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He knew what he was there to do. Yes? And to do that, he needed the Spirit of the Lord. I want to say to you, if Jesus needed the Spirit to serve God, then so do we, right? And can I suggest to you that if we need the Spirit of God to serve Him, it's probably for things bigger than me that I can't do by myself. That's what I need, like we began with, so that we rely on Him who can raise from the dead. Spurgeon, as Charles Spurgeon says, "He who does not serve God where he is would not serve God anywhere else." Oh Lord, if you gave me an opportunity, I'd serve you. Now we love Jamie's in the city this weekend, representing the mayors and others. But we think, oh God, if I go on a missions trip or if I'm involved with some program at church, then I'll serve you. If the elders come and ask me 57 times, or the 58th time, then I'll serve you. He who does not serve God will be it. Another is to remind me, be a master call and you will. Wherever you find yourself, serve God there, because you won't serve him anywhere else if you don't. Billy Graham put it this way, oh God, if you want me to serve you, I will. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go. I want to talk about two things this morning about the Holy Spirit empowering us to serve God. The first is the anointing of God. And then the second thing is the gifts that he gives us. So firstly, the Holy Spirit is the one that anoints us. When you talk about the anointing of God, sometimes in certain church circles, it's become like this mystical thing. You're not quite sure what it is. And normally it makes people speak funny and huff and puff a bit and shake and shiver. Yeah? I don't know about you, but I've been around church long enough. When I was newly saved, I thought if you prophesied, it had to be in King James English. You had to sound like Shakespeare when you prophesied. And I knew people that would speak normally until they prophesied. So I thought, okay, Holy Spirit must come from King James times. Yeah. I remember a guy prophesying over someone at a youth camp. He said, I just want to tell you, the Lord knows your name. And he opened his eyes and said, sorry, what's your name? The Holy Spirit anoints us. I want to help us this morning. Anointing of God is not something mystical and spooky spiritual. It's not something out there that happens to fancy people that glow in the dark and float, you know, foot off the ground when they've been praying long enough. That's not the anointing of God. Daddy Daniel puts it this way. He says the anointing is the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's so simple. Remember, we've said that the Holy Spirit has personality. He's like a person. So I can be in his presence. I can be closer to him. I can be further from him. The more I'm with him, the more he's with me. Remember, Moses goes up the mountain, 10 commandments. Then he comes down, his face shines. Why? Because he's been in the presence of God. Daddy says the anointing is the evidence and the power of God's presence with us. Isn't that cool? Like, you don't have to be pulling your superstar Christian. You know, the guy that, or the girl that's on the front page of the Girl magazine looking all holy. You don't have to be that person. You just have to be you with the Holy Spirit. You can serve him, anointed by him. Finally, Daddy says, it's the supernatural enabling of God to perform a task. I don't know about you, but I need some supernatural enabling almost day by day, don't you? Oh, Lord Jesus, I've got to deal with this person today. I've got to figure out this problem today. I've got to understand what happened here. Lord, I need your presence. Maybe you've got a tough customer that you're going to deal with this week. Oh, God, this is the moment for anointing the presence of God to enable me to do the thing you've asked me to do. It's amazing to me how people just assume that the pastor or the elders just do the job, like, regardless. Anyone else can say no, but the pastor has to say yes all the time. Yeah? You know, in our first week of ministry, I did my first funeral, my first wedding, and we had a school, I did my first class. 1 week. They didn't teach me that stuff in Bible school. Just saying. That was so many years ago, I still have weeks up there. Thank you. You totally out of your depth. And other people just assume, well, it's your job, you're the one who do it. Yeah? Someone once wanted to give me the church keys. They're like, yeah, I'm man of this church. Here, you take the keys. I'm off. I'm out of here. I'm like, hold on. Why did you get to hand the keys? And I want to hand the keys. Like, why do you just assume that I'm hanging around and you can give me your keys? Like, no, I'm giving you my keys. You take that. I'm out of here. Like, why is that? You have an alternative. You've got to figure it out. We need the anointing. We don't need some mountaintop experience all the time. We need the presence of God. We need the supernatural enabling. Like a dad with his hand on his bicycle seat saying, come on, my boy, you can do this. We'll get you going with your plan. The supernatural enabling of God to do what he's asking us to do. In John chapter 16, verse 7. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Isn't that amazing? Everyone wanted Jesus to stay. And Jesus says, actually, it's better if I go, because then I can send the Holy Spirit. Jesus did what was necessary to help us, to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with the Father and be forgiven of our sins. But he said the Holy Spirit needed to come to empower the church to serve God century after century until he returns again. The Holy Spirit isn't for personal edification only. It's for not just for fun, just for function. Not just so that I can have my goosebump moment one Sunday a month and say, to get a cup from the Lord is serving. That's important. Important that he touches me, but it's more important what happens next. That I'm able to, man, that old guy, Elijah, outran the chariot when the Lord came. He said, there's rain coming. And he took up his, he took his cloak and he put it in his belt and he ran. Yeah? I could go through how many people, Elizabeth, John the Baptist in her womb, leaps when Mary comes nearby, pregnant with the Son of God. Yeah? Everyone, young and old, male and female, all over the scriptures, power of God, they live to serve. Man, we need the anointing of God. And how does the Lord help us to serve Him? Well, He gives us gifts. He gives us gifts to serve Him with. 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. You know, when Colette and I arrived, we've been 15 years in Cartagena, when we arrived here in Cartagena 15 years ago, we found a place just down the street here, 3 days before we arrived, so we knew we could put the boxes and we were in this tiny little place and put it on a chalkboard. We quoted the scripture to each one where it says we're given. We were coming here to KW to Bermuda. Some of you were here, you were in that season with us. And we were like, man, God has given us this grace trip. And He's given you grace trip. And He's given us the grace that we need to be able to live together as grace trip. And He's given us together the grace that we need so that we can reach the city and beyond into the nations of the world. We have that written in our little place, reminding ourselves every day we're not here just because we can't get into the grace. Working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now there are three categories of gifts that the Bible speaks about. There are ministry gifts, there's motivational gifts, and there's manifestation gifts. I'll take it. Quick moment just to pull these out to you. The kind of more comprehensive notes will be available. You can discuss it at LACU this week. There's so much that you can learn so that you can serve under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, God says that it was Christ who gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that they might be built up with unity and faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God to become mature. I mean, these are important things. Don't you want to become mature? Don't you want to become equipped? That's why we need the ministry gift, what we call the fivefold, the translocal gift. Grace Club Church partners with New Covenant Ministries International, a team of translocal gifts. That's why recently Donnie and Renal were with us, right? Okay? And you guys, I mean, we love Donnie and Renal, don't we? And many others, because when they come, they minister in a certain way, you know? As some of you have been to the church, when they're in their home church, they're just pastors. They love the sheep. They don't come as apostles in your own church. But if I serve on the translocal team here, I'm just one of the elders. We love you, and man, we're just part of you. But when you guys send us somewhere else, something changes, and some of you guys are too. Number of you tell me, Craig, you're different when you're somewhere else than you are. It's because working under a different gifting, empowered in a different way, to serve God, just like you, in your home or up in the world. Maybe something different. Let me quickly explain how these fivefold work together. So if you look at a hand, such a beautiful image. So first of all, we have the apostles. The apostles are the one who govern. They touch each of the gifts, they bring them together in a team, and like a fist, a translocal team can make great impact. The apostle equips the church to understand the bigger picture, have a heart for the nations, church planting, both good foundations. The second finger is this one. We call it the pointing finger. And that's the prophet. The prophet is the one who guides us. He points the way, or she points the way, and helps us understand what the Lord is saying to us, that we might see the future, see what God has on his heart, prepare for the future, and live in the future. The third one, if you look at my hand, is this one. It's the longest finger that reaches the furthest. It's the evangelist who gathers the lost. He doesn't really care about how people feel. He just wants to go and save people from going to hell. He always wants to be further out there and bring them back. And so the evangelist equips the church with God's heart to seek and save the lost. The pastor is this finger. What's special? What's this finger called? Called the ring finger, right? And what ring do we put on it? We put our wedding ring. The pastor is the one that reminds us that we're married with the bride of Christ. The pastor is one who equips the church, who guards the church, who equips them to love, to lay down their lives one for another, like Jesus did for the sheep. I taught this in Malawi once. When I got to the pointing finger, I said, which finger is this? Thinking they're going to say the pointing finger like you did. And I remember they said, it's the pop finger. I'm like, what? No, it's the finger you use to scrape the pop out of the pot. And then my fancy illustration, I thought, here I am, a Bible teacher. I went, ooh, straight down. Then I got to this one. So we said, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And the teacher is the one who grounds the church, who equips the church to effectively disciple others. And I said, what is this finger? They said, this finger is the one that gets the wax out of the ears. Sometimes we've got to do that too. You see what a blessing that God gives these gifts to the local church? That's all we have. Ground and Tracy coming next week because we want to make loop of this gift. Do all of these things. Man, we're going to go to the shop. Number two. Go on, another time. Number two. We have ministry gifts. And if you were around a couple of years ago, we did the gifted series. And Romans chapter 12 tells us we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We talk about the motivational gifts. These are the gifts that come out just naturally. They're who you are. You know, some of us are tidy, some of us not so much. Some of us are on time. The rest of you are wrong. For those that are on time. It just comes naturally. We would say it's who I am. It's what motivates me. So I can teach this. You can talk about this in the life group. Let me tell you a story. Picture this. You go to a new life group for the first time this week. Yes? Yes. You go to a new life group for the first time or the second time this week. Okay? They ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to do it. And you're sitting in the lounge. And the lounge is so nice. The person tidy the lounge and they bring that tray. You know the one with the boy and the sugar carton and milk bag, not the carton of milk. You know all of those things. And they come in there, maybe a few biscuits on the side. And as they get close to the coffee table, they trip on their new rug and the tray goes and all the tea and the tray goes and all the tea and coffee falls on that brand new rug. How would you react? Think of you. What would you do? What would your first reaction be? If it was your house, you might say, that's it, everybody out. Look what you've done to my house. No, hopefully not. Right? So here's the deal. I'm enjoying this too much. The prophet, if you have the motivational gift of the prophet, he would be the one that wanted to get to the root of the problem. You see, there's a bump in the rug. That's why you tripped. And you must look where you're going and you must hold the tray properly with a prophet. Don't do it the wrong way. If you are the server, you would be the one, as many of you said, that jumps up and you want to start eating. Then you go get the rug. Where do you put the mop? Is there anything? Is there a bucket? What can I do? How do I help? That's the server. The teacher would be standing up and getting everyone's attention and say, you see, if you hold the tray with both hands, and if you walk properly with your eyes open, and you bend with your knees, we would have been fine. The encourager would be saying, oh, you know what, guys, I know this is terrible, but it's not the end of the world. Like, we'll be okay. It's just a rug after all, and it's far more important that we together having fellowship. That's the encourager, right? Mm-hmm. The giver would be grabbing his wallet out of his pocket and saying, I know this looks like we're going to have some carpet cleaning or some dry cleaning. Here's some money. You need to go get this sorted out. The leader would be saying, excuse me, everybody. You look strong. Can you move the couch? Can you get the mop? Can you just move a little bit across because someone's got to get in there to clean? You would be the person delegating and organizing. Finally, the compassionate one, the mercy-hearted one, will understand that the person with the cave has really been done. Maybe understand that you feel done. Who cares about the carpet? What about your carpet? We'll get him on the carpet, but this person, I don't want to help you. Actually, it's in the Bible, actually. I wonder which one of those you are. My goodness, my time is up. The final one. If you want to jump into that gift of insight there, the more question you can put up, hope you understand. Not just a new version, hope you understand who God has made you to be. I finish quickly with a manifestation gift. The Bible speaks in Corinthians. Again, my time is up. But the message of wisdom, of knowledge, of faith, of healing, miraculous power, prophecy, discernment, distinguishing the spring spirits, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, all given by the same spirit. We call them manifestation gifts because they are the Lord overwhelming you. There's a need. This you and me, Lord, I don't have the tools in my toolbox to know what to do here. The Lord manifests his power with you. And all of a sudden, there's an enabling to do what's needed. A friend is sick. Oh, Lord, I want power to heal. Lord, you need to speak to the person. All of a sudden, the prophetic word flows. You understand? The beautiful thing is, the Bible says, it's the gift of the Spirit. I said last time, you don't qualify for a gift. I don't mind. A gift doesn't matter how many times you read the Bible. The closer we are to the Spirit, the easier it is to get from the gifts. But the cool thing is, man, who can empower us to be in your gifts? Well, some of us, because we have kind of a little bit more confidence in God, we might become more used to one of these. For example, an evangelist friend of ours sees plenty of people healed and saved. It's just like this kind of happens naturally around him. Other people kind of get to the depths of the heart. And the Lord will anoint us by manifesting the presence of him to help us in all of these things. Charles Spurgeon said, I believe that many professing Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for the Lord. Sometimes I think, you know, we pray fasting prayers and we expect millionaire answers. We live fasting lives and we expect millionaire empowering from the Lord. Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for the Lord. But if they actively search it, your blood will begin to circulate spiritually, and it will be well with them. But it still empowers us to serve him. And man, like prayer, prayers of fire, Eric Wilson, when I run, when I serve him, I feel his presence. Even in the bathroom of those healing men, the Holy Spirit is there with God, empowering me to serve him. With a friend of mine who passed away, it was tough. I wish they told me that I needed to come in and be blessed in it. Could you stand up?